What wonderful things are in store for us and our Savior. We should walk with Him every day in preparation for how we shall walk with Him in eternity. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22? We're going to talk about Isaac today. I don't think Isaac gets talked about very much. We know him as the son of Abraham. We know him as the father of Jacob. But what about Isaac's testimony? God says equally he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there is something for us to learn from each of these three. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we study this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. What a joy it is to have the privilege to open it, to read it, and to talk about the things that you have said. Remind us all that these are your words and that they are living and intended to nourish our souls. Help us in this moment to hear and to understand, to believe, and to obey, as your Spirit teaches us from your word. And I ask for this in Jesus' name, amen. Isaac's father, Abraham, was a bold person. This is evidenced when, in Genesis chapter 18, God informed Abraham that God was going to destroy the city of Sodom, which is where Lot was living. And remember how Abraham negotiated with God with regard to whether or not he would preserve the city of Sodom. And I would think it would take a boldness to start at the number 50 and work with God to get down to the number 10. To reason with God in the preservation of the city of Sodom. Unfortunately, there weren't even 10 righteous people left in the city of Sodom, and I believe God would have preserved the city had it been so. Isaac's son, Jacob, was also a very bold person. This is evidenced in the fact that in chapter 32 in the book of Genesis, Jacob wrestled with God, and did it so well that God himself said this, "As a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Pretty amazing. Isaac, however, is not like his father or his son. He doesn't have quite the boldness that either his father or son possess. This is evidenced in an event in his life in Genesis chapter 26, where Isaac dug a well, and the herdmen of Gerar came and took it from him. He didn't resist, he just went someplace else and dug another well. And the herdmen of Gerar came and took that one from him. He didn't resist, he just went and dug another well. And finally, after he dug the third well, the herdmen of Gerar left him alone. So he said, "Now the Lord has given me a place where I can settle." But Isaac's passive nature is not all bad. In fact, there is something for us to learn from all three of these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From Isaac, this is what we may learn. There is a time and a place simply to submit to the will of God. Let's begin in chapter 22. The event that we read about a few moments ago, where Abraham is instructed by God to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and Abraham does this. I think we usually look at this event recorded in Scripture from Abraham's standpoint. But today I want to look at it from Isaac's standpoint. After all, He is a very active participant in this, is he not? So, how old was Isaac when this took place? Well, notice in verse 5 of chapter 22 that it caused Isaac, Abraham himself, speaking of his son, caused Isaac a lad. Now, you know how we figure out the meaning of some of these words. We look them up in a book. And what is that book? Strong's Concordance, and all these words have a number, and the word lad has a particular number. Well, here's an interesting thing. In that same verse, verse 5, it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men." Who are the young men? His servants, right? To go along. Do you know that young men has exactly the same number in Strong's Concordance as the word lad? So what can we conclude from that? Isaac is certainly not 5 or 6 or 7 years old when this takes place. He is a young man. Now, how old is a young man? Do you have anybody here that's 16 years old? Oh, Kyle, are you a young man? Oh, he thinks so. Is he a young man? There's a sense in which he is a young man, sure. Isaac could be a teenager. He could be exactly your age, Kyle, when this takes place. He could be maybe as old as 20, but certainly not 5, 6, or 7. So he is a young man when this takes place. Now, notice in verse 6 that Isaac is the one who carries the wood for the sacrifice. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Now that's striking, isn't it? Because who is the sacrifice? Isaac. And now he is carrying the wood on which he himself is going to be laid. But does he know that at this point? No, he doesn't know that at this point. Abraham, I am convinced, believes at this point that Isaac is the Redeemer. Because not only is Isaac going to be a burnt offering, he is going to be a blood sacrifice. Remember when Abraham bounds Isaac, lays him on the wood. What does Abraham reach for? A knife. What are you going to use the knife for? This is going to be a blood sacrifice. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19, we better turn over there and just look at that in case any of you are unfamiliar with the statement made regarding that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19. In verses 17 through 19, it tells us how Abraham, by faith, offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God told Abraham that it would be through Isaac that Abraham would become a great nation." Did Abraham believe that's still going to take place? Absolutely. But how is it going to take place if Isaac dies on the altar? Verse 19, "Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." I believe Abraham had serious thoughts about his son Isaac being the Redeemer. They believed in a Redeemer back in those days, right from the time of Adam and Eve. Mankind knew a Redeemer was going to come. And God tells Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar, a burnt offering, but a blood sacrifice, who then Abraham believed God would raise from the dead. Which brings an interesting picture to us, as Isaac then is the one who carries the wood for his own sacrifice. For in John chapter 19 and verse 17, we are told that Christ carried his own cross. Now, Isaac is curious. In verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And Abraham said, Here am I. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham answers him with this very interesting statement. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, just the way it's phrased for us here in the Bible, it could be read in two different ways. God will provide for himself a lamb, or God will provide himself a lamb. It's really impossible to tell the emphasis that Abraham had in the statement, but it is a striking statement as we have it recorded for us. We know the implication of those words. God would provide himself to be the sacrifice, ultimately as the Redeemer. In this case, he will provide for himself a lamb to take Isaac's place. But Abraham is thinking that God is providing Isaac for himself as a sacrifice. Now, it raises the question, at what point did Isaac become aware of the fact that he was the sacrifice? I think it's very possible it's at this moment it begins to sink in. And I want you to notice in verse 9 that there is no indication whatsoever that Isaac resisted as Abraham prepared Isaac for the sacrifice. In verse 9 it says, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. He tied him up. He bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac allowed his father to tie him up. He allowed his father to lay him on the altar. He did not attempt to wiggle, to roll, or to get himself off the altar in any way. Remember that Isaac is a young man. Yet as he was bound, lying upon the wood on the altar, Isaac watched his father reach for the knife. And he prepared to die, submitting himself to be the sacrifice God had provided for himself. Isaac took this attitude, if this is the will of God for me, then I am willing to submit. There is no evidence either, after this event was all over, there is no evidence that Isaac was traumatized by this experience. He accepted it and submitted to it. Of course, we know what happened. Just as Abraham was prepared to use the knife to offer his son as a blood sacrifice, God interrupted him, provided a ram, Isaac was delivered, and Abraham's faith passed the test. But we are focusing on Isaac. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63. Abraham had sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Isaac's mother had died 3 years before this event, and Isaac was apparently disturbed by that because it tells us that when his wife came, he was comforted concerning the death of his mother. But Eleazar has not returned with the new bride as yet, and it describes for us here in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. He is waiting for his new bride to come, hoping that she will arrive soon. In the meantime, he is meditating. This word is used in Psalm 77 and verse 6, where it says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. There's your idea of meditating. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. This word meditate is a word that implies some form of communication, a thought process that may involve also talking or speaking or even complaining. And all of that in a prayerful meditation and communication with God. It is something that someone does who is very comfortable in his relationship with God. And I believe that this indicates that Isaac was very comfortable in his relationship with God. He's 40 years old. This could be 20 or more years after the time that he was offered in sacrifice. But he is very comfortable in his relationship with God. Chapter 25, verses 19 through 23. He marries his bride, but she's not having children. Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. She wasn't having children. Now, Isaac knows about the promises that were made. Isaac knows that he was offered in sacrifice but preserved because it is through Isaac that the seed of Abraham is to turn into a great nation. How is that going to happen if his wife doesn't have children? And so he entreats the Lord. That is similar to the New Testament term supplicate. Supplication. To supplicate means that I not only ask God for something, I ask with great intensity. You know, we could talk to God in more casual tones and say, Dear God, it would really be nice if you would help me through today's activities and I'd have a good time. You know, and just an everyday kind of a thing. Or we have a particular need in our lives. Maybe we're ill and we want God to help us to get better. We don't say, Dear God, If you have the time to help me get better, that'd be nice. Is that the way we pray when we have a particular need? Don't we pray with intensity? Heavenly Father, I have this need. I really need your help. And that's the kind of intense prayer he entreated the Lord. Heavenly Father, my wife isn't having children, but you made these promises that through me, through my wife, we would extend the family of Abraham, and through us, he would become a great nation. My wife must be able to have children if this is going to happen. And he entreats the Lord. What happened? Verse 21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. God responded. God answered yes. Isaac also obeyed God over in chapter 26, beginning in verse 2 and following. There was a famine in the land, and the Lord said in chapter 26, verse 2, the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land where I shall tell thee of." And Isaac does not go down into Egypt. Now remember, when there was a famine in the land and Abraham, his father, was there, Abraham went down into Egypt. And what did Abraham do there? Pretended like his wife wasn't his wife. God says to Isaac, don't go down into Egypt. Isaac didn't go down into Egypt. He went over to Philistia. I suppose this is one of those messages you could preach on Father's Day, like father or like son. Only it wouldn't be a real positive message. Isaac made the same mistake. He pretended like his wife wasn't really his wife, and you know the whole scenario there. There were some complications in the whole situation. But he did obey God. He didn't go down into Egypt. Finally, we have this matter that Isaac is listed in the Hall of Faith over in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 20, which indicates that Isaac did trust the Lord, where in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20 it says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come." Now notice the particular thing that it selects from Isaac's life to address regarding his faith was the blessing that he gave to his sons, Jacob and Esau. But there were some interesting events surrounding that blessing, wasn't there? Let's go back, Genesis chapter 26, verse 21. Genesis chapter 6, verse 21, where Jacob and Esau are born. Just prior to their birth, it says in verse 22, Genesis 25, verse 22. "And the children struggled within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire the Lord." Now notice, she went to inquire the Lord. This is a conversation that Rebekah has with the Lord. And it raises a question as to whether or not she ever told Isaac, if she ever told Isaac what the Lord told her. But this is what the Lord told her, verse 23. "And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" Now, which one turns out to be the elder? Esau. Which one turns out to be the younger? Jacob. Esau's the elder, Jacob's the younger. So when Esau is born, he owns the birthright. And with the birthright comes the birthright blessing. Now, we know what happened. Esau got real hungry one day and was so famished he thought he was going to die. And he thought, if I'm going to die, my birthright doesn't do me any good. So he sold his birthright to Jacob. And how many millions of dollars did Jacob have to pay to get the birthright? None. A bowl of pottage. Wow. But was it a legal transaction? Did Esau sell the birthright? Did Jacob own the birthright by right of possession, by right of purchase? Yes. But he also owned it by right of divine decree. Because God said, "The elder shall serve the younger." So now the scenario is that Isaac wants to bless his son Esau because Isaac prefers Esau. Notice in chapter 25, verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Well, that's an interesting reason to have a favorite son. He fixes better venison. But there it is. There you have it. Isaac preferred Esau. Does Isaac know anything about what the Lord told Rebekah when the boys were born, that the elder would serve the younger? It doesn't appear that he does. Does Isaac know anything about Esau selling the birthright? Doesn't seem like he does. Isaac tells Esau that it's time for him to give him the birthright blessing. And we know there were things that happened. Rebekah finds out about it. Rebekah tells Jacob to pretend to be Esau so that he can deceive his father and get the birthright blessing. And we all have those questions in our minds. How can someone who's going to fulfill the promise of God be so deceptive and all of that? And the question that raises in my mind is it wrong to steal something that you own? I mean, think about it. Does he own the birthright? Does he own the birthright blessing? Yes, because Esau sold it to him. By right of purchase and by divine right, it really belongs to Jacob. Now, there are things that God doesn't tell us, and so we just have these questions. And there are reasons that God doesn't tell us every detail and what everybody was thinking about everything. But we wonder what Isaac knew and what he didn't know. But here's the thing. Isaac wanted Esau to have the birthright blessing. God did not. What happens when we want one thing and God wants another? Consider. Let me find my place here. Over in chapter 27. Jacob brings the venison that his mother fixed, pretending to be Esau. Verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren." What did God tell Rebekah? The elder brother would serve the younger. What is part of the birthright blessing? That his brethren would serve him, that he would be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. That was Jacob's by divine right. Jacob didn't take anything that didn't belong to him here. By divine decree, this belonged to Jacob. Isaac thinks he's giving it to Esau. Although some of the things that happened, remember he says, you know, you smell like Esau, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. I think he kind of had some suspicions of what was going on. He says, verse 29, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee, which is part of the blessing that was given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, remember. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, who, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before him, before thou camest, and have blessed him? You can almost feel a pause in the text of Scripture as all of this sinks in to Isaac's mind and heart. And then he adds this. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And in that you see the submission of Isaac's own heart to the divine will. You see, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Isaac gave these blessings, and he did then bless Esau. He gave these blessings to his children, his sons, by faith about things to come. I believe these blessings were actually revelation from God. And he believed that these things were going to happen in his children's lives. These weren't just hopes and wishes, pipe dreams of a father for his son. Isaac believed this was the will of God. This was prophetic. And he was bestowing this prophetically upon his sons. He believed it. He trusted it. And when this prophetic message was bestowed upon Jacob, Isaac got it. It wasn't what he wanted, but he accepted it because he knew it was God's will. That should be instructive to our hearts. Have you ever wished for something and God said no? Or have you ever asked for one thing and God gave you the opposite? Perhaps Isaac's thoughts went back to earlier days when he asked for a lamb to sacrifice, and he became the sacrifice himself instead. Someone wrote a poem, don't know who it was, goes like this. Sometimes I wonder when things go so wrong. Has God forsaken me and left me alone? Then I remember, through trial and distress, he's always with me. I am most richly blessed. You see, I asked for strength that I might achieve. He gave me weakness that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for help that I might do great things. He gave me infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. He made me weak that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. He has given me life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. And almost despite myself, I am most richly blessed. Isaac wanted Esau to have the birthright blessing. God said, no, belongs to Jacob. And even though it wasn't what Isaac wanted, it still wasn't what he wanted. It still wasn't what Isaac wanted. But he accepted it because it was God's will. Can you yield yourself unto God? Can you be passive in your relationship with Him in this sense? That even when you want one thing and God wants another, you will give up what you want to yield yourself to the will of God. Isaac's less bold demeanor gave him the capacity to submit to the will of God, no matter what it was. May we have that kind of heart. Regardless of what we want ourselves, we will accept God's will no matter what. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us from Isaac's life. We recognize, Lord, that you do have a will. There are things you want for us and for our lives. And we realize, Lord, that what you want for us is not always what we want for ourselves. Help us to be like Isaac in this regard, that no matter what we ask for, no matter what we wish for, no matter what we want in our own hearts and minds, when we recognize what your will is for our lives, we will be willing to submit, to accept, and to obey your will. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.